Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Benjamin Seschel. How are you, Benjamin?
Hi, Chris. I'm really well.
So 06 is the wine that you described as a slightly below classic or classic?
No, I would say classic plus, actually.
Classic plus. So 07 is the classic minus.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back to sort of quite rich fruits, aren't we? Darker fruits.
Yep.
It's almost So you're into that sort of bit of blackcurrant, bit of mocha in there, floral, almost violet. So again, quite firm tannins, but
yes.
but quite fine.
Yep.
Definitely, and a bit more floral on the mouth as well. This is before Petit Verdot cranked up a bit, but I often think of Petit Verdot as quite a violet floral style of wine, because when I've had it as a single varietal,
yeah.
It's been from Spain, and they've been like very floral rather than sort of berry flavored. Even though I know this hasn't got it, if I had to pick a wine that had higher Petit Verdot, I would have picked that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just goes to show what I know.
Yeah. Yes, it has Petit Verdot in it, but not as much as the others. We're around, 5-6%. I do pay attention to the aromas, but I find the difference. Of course, you'll tell me I know these wines, although I know how they were made, but in terms of structure, having less Petit Verdot, we see the structure is more, probably showing finer, but less full structure than with a bit more Petit Verdot.
In the mouth. Yeah, not in the nose. The nose smells fine.
The nose is rich and deep.
The
aromas in a wine with same varieties can change so much depending on the intensity of ripeness of that variety, which is violet or blackcurrant can be coming from the same variety, but at different stage of ripeness.
Mm, yeah. I noticed the acidity in this wine is about medium plus, so it's, I am salivating, but not as much as some of the earlier wines. So the acidity appears to have been either backed off with time, or maybe it was a wee bit lower in acidity. I am salivating a wee bit coming through. And you're right, it's in the mid-palate, isn't it, compared to the other wines.
Into the mid-palate, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a wee bit lighter in the mid-palate. Hollow is not the right word, because it is near full-bodied, but it is lighter in the mid-palate.
No, it's exactly that. It's that mid-palate. As a winemaker, we're trying to get that full balance. Of course, when all the grapes are fully ripe, everything happens quite smoothly and easily. But when it's more difficulties in the ripeness, like 06, we had very hot conditions for the end of the ripening of the Merlot, and then a bit of rain on the Cabernet Sauvignon. So yes, we had to be careful in the extractions, but then you need to extract enough to fill up the structure. And that's what today, with having more Petit Verdot, we're more accurate, because we can fill up what is probably missing a little bit in the 06 today. We can fill it up with having a little bit more Petit Verdot, and probably we would have extracted a bit less on the Cabernet Sauvignon, which would have more balanced the wine.
I just went back to the 2010 just to do a sort of comparison. And the 2010's got a half degree alcohol, but in the mid-palate, that is quite full, whereas the 2006 is...
No, it's very... Well, yes, then there's a...
There's a big difference between those two vintages.
Yeah, of course, yeah. 06 is, as we said, is a classic, probably plus, and 10 is not a classic, it's a plus plus. 10 has a bit more concentration and more density all over the place, and well, the balance is more naturally given by the grape, the full ripeness of the grapes.
That'd be interesting. Let's have a look at this 2005. Yeah. This is a wine, not so much this wine, but I was saying earlier, Brain Cantenac, their second wine, and Brain Cantenac, 2005, I've drunk a fair bit of those two wines over an extended period of time. So this is the vintage I know the best. And a lot of people say 09, 10, they're the best vintages of Bordeaux for a long time, you know, the vintages of the century so far. 05, you said earlier you think 05's better?
I think, yeah, for Anglais anyway, we have those three big vintages. I think 05 is the biggest between those three.
Not in volume, you mean in
no, no, in quality. In quality, yeah. So that doesn't mean that 05 is the best to drink today, because, as I said, the problem is with these big vintages is that they do need time to show their potential. Mm. I think between 9, 10, and 5, the wines which will be drinking the first will be the 9s, then the 10s, and then the 5. And 5 is probably the most classic. So probably not very impressive today at the tasting, and it can be a bit closed up, but behind that, you can feel it goes a long way on the structure. It has very fine grain, very delicate, being very dense at the same time.
On the nose, it's the first one that's starting to show any evolution. Everything else is all quite primary fruit. There's just a little note of cedar in this wine, which to me, I always think of as a sort of an oaky characteristic with a bit of age. It's still quite young, though. But the wine that I'm comparing to, Baron de Brun, which is the second wine of Brand Cantenac, it's starting to show evolution already, whereas this one's still out of nappies, but not really.
It has a lot there. Coming back to the comparison between 9, 10, and 5, it really, even tasting it today, we feel it has that classic structure, mm-hmm. with having over around the structure of the wine, that those tannins, which are very fine grain tannins, but they're there covering the structure and protecting the structure of the wine. But then, I mean, I'm tasting it again today, and it's still showing fuller than all the rest of the wines here.
Yeah, no, I don't know compared to 10, but it's certainly got a good body to it. You know,
yeah,
you can feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
The body's there. And the tannins are also quite high. Now, I mean,
yes.
you've obviously extracted a fair chunk of tannins. Not the most compared to some of them, but you know, it's quite drying still. They haven't softened out yet.
No, but there's a lot there, and they'll go on for a long, long, long time, developing more complexity without of the rest of the, because the risk of some wines when they have a lot of tannins is those tannins will age through the time and developing finer tannins. The risk is that the rest of the wine fades away. But 05 will not be the case. It has a lot of density there. You know, before 05 came up, and it's probably still is, the big year of this area for probably the last century or forever is the 1961, which are very enormous wines. Even tasting them today, are still taste very surprisingly very, very young. And in different discussions, when we came up to say, I mean, tasting these 61s and thinking, are the big years we're making today will show that well in 40 or 50 years' time? And the answer was usually, well, no, we're making big wines, but they don't have that density and that depth. But, you know, I think that 05 here at Angoudet has something about the 61s. It has that balance of density, acidity, structure, which makes that everything's there for the wine to go through decade and showing more and more complexity and elegance.
So 2005, the weather in 2005 was?
Well, yes, and 2005 is the driest season we ever had. Luckily, not too hot, because if it would have been as hot as 03, it would have been a disaster on the vines, but certainly the driest. And so we had very small grapes, a crop which was small, not because of the number of clusters, because we had those 8 clusters per vine that we're looking for. We had them there, but the berries stayed very small. Because it was very dry.
So that gives you a lot of skin.
A lot of skins. And we were talking about the extraction in 05. the extraction during the fermentation was very low, because I remember being worried during those vinification. My question was, how are we going to preserve the elegance in this massive structure? The extraction we did was very light, but we had a lot because of the density of the grapes.
Just out of curiosity, 1961, which you said was the year that goes on and on and on. Two things. How does that wine taste now? And a wee bit about the weather in 1961.
Well, the wine, when I discovered 1961, now that was in the late 90s, and with my father, and that was, I think, even in 96. And he gave me a glass and tell me what you think about this wine and tell me what you think it is. So we were in an Angle Day discussion and talking about wine. So I was really looking for a wine of Angle Day. And I told him, well, it reminds me a bit of the, it reminds me of the 85. That was his 96. It reminds me of 85, but probably a bit older. And when he told me it was 61, I was just, I couldn't believe it. It was so, feeling so young. And they still feel the same today. I mean, they're enormous wines. What made that in the weather, it's 1961. First thing happened in the year is a heavy frost, which
reduced the yields.
Yeah, reduced yield, very low yields. I mean, below around 15 hectolitres per hectare. So cut off the yields very low. Then after that frost, well, the vine started growing again. And after that, I mean, perfect weather. Very nice light, not too hot, but perfect weather. So everything, all the ripening, the vine needed to catch up with the fact that it frost. But everything after that went well and made very concentrated grapes with, and the only thing I would love to have done, but I wasn't there to do it, was to, and that was my question to my father, was how was those wines tasting when they were young? And the answer was, well, they were very, very aggressive and concentrated wine, of course, but some people were saying that these wines were going to be big wines, enormous wines, but other people were saying that those wines are going to stay that hard and taste that hard forever, and they won't never be big wines. And well, we have the answer today. They are.
When you say enormous, you mean in terms of quality?
In terms of quality, yeah. In terms of quality.
One thing that's quite funny or a wee bit unusual is wines age. For a wine to age, you need acidity, you need tannins, and you need fruit for longer term aging. But you can get quite high acidity and quite robust rustic tannins from cold weather, but you don't necessarily get the fruit. So some people historically have always said, you know, age Bordeaux to soften out the acidity, soften out the tannins. So in the old days, they used to make wines that were more tannic, more perhaps than needed to be, do you think?
Yeah, to have that balance, you need all that acidity, tannins, fruit, but all that concentrated. If they're diluted, they'll be unbalanced. It has to be all together in the structure, all together.
If you think about that compared to say the 2007, where you've got the tannins in the city but you're lacking the fruit, so when you made the wine you didn't extract that much deliberately because you're trying to keep that wine in balance. And as a result, the 07s won't necessarily age as well as some of the other wines. Whilst they still taste quite nice, they won't necessarily have that longevity.
Of course, yeah, they don't have that longevity than a more concentrated wine. Yeah, I mean, it would be a big mistake of trying to make in a poor year or in the more with unripened grapes to try and make a big wine. We have to keep that balance, and it's probably what we are more careful to preserve today is that balance adapted to the year. And I'm really pleased today of coming back to the Petit Verdot, because it is part of that Petit Verdot that I have today, which gives me the ability of adapting more the extraction of each vat considering the year. meaning that when we make a wine, we of course we need a minimum of density and structure. When the grapes are not to got to full ripeness, then the extraction will be more difficult because the some tannins
more stringent.
Where and what gives me that ability of being more accurate today is the real natural complementarity between the Merlot, Petit Verdot, Cabernet Sauvignon. And that's why I say that the Petit Verdot is a very good link between the Merlot and the Cabernet Sauvignon, because in a difficult year, they complete beautifully together without forcing the extraction. And it gives us the ability of making a well-balanced wine which will show full structure with no aggressive tannins.
Perfect. All right then, Ben, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. It's been a great pleasure to talk about all that.
Cheers, bud.